2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy grace. And we thank thee, Lord, that thy grace is sufficient in all our circumstances. O God, we pray for those in our congregation who are passing through times of trial in these days. We pray for those that are sick. We pray, Lord, for those who need that special touch from heaven. O God, we pray that you'll add grace to grace. We thank thee that you do add grace to grace. And Lord, you never give the grace until it's needed. O God, we do pray that you would bless those, Lord, who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are elderly with many infirmities. We pray, Lord, that they might know in a very special way that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. We thank thee, Lord, for the health and strength that you've blessed us with today. O God, we do not take these things for granted. And yet, Lord, we know that sooner or later that we will suffer with infirmities. O God, we pray that you'd come today and teach us again from this passage of Scripture, thy will and thy way. There are many things, Lord, in life that we don't understand. But we thank thee that the Lord understands everything. And we thank thee, Lord, that you're the mighty God of glory. And O God, we thank thee that in your providence you lead us and guide us in your will. Lord, help us to accept your will from day to day and week to week throughout our lives. O God, we confess that there are many times, Lord, that we don't understand why you bring us a certain way. But O God, we do pray that you'll help us, Lord, to look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O God, bless thy word, therefore, to all of our hearts. Fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And Lord, as we would consider this passage of Scripture, again, Lord, that there might be a word in season for all of our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. For a few moments today, I want to draw your attention to Paul's prolonged illness. When we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of a man who was a great preacher and a great missionary and a great soul winner. Our attention is automatically drawn to Paul's successful missionary journeys, where many churches were established for the glory of God and many souls were saved for time and for eternity. Indeed, at the very mention of this man's name, we are reminded of the exploits of his public ministry and how he stood fearlessly for the cause of Christ against false teachers. And yet, I wonder, as you think about this godly man, did you ever stop to realize that Paul was a man who suffered great physical infirmity in his body? Not only are we told that Paul was persecuted, and we're going to consider that tonight in the will of the Lord, but he was also stoned and imprisoned and beaten, and on one occasion left for dead for the sake of the gospel. But as he went everywhere preaching Christ, the apostle carried about in his body a very painful infirmity. And we read about this infirmity that afflicted Paul here in this portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not told what Paul's infirmity was. It is just described here as a thorn in the flesh. But whatever it was, the apostle Paul had to learn to live with it. However, the great truth that is brought out in this chapter is that God gave Paul the grace to cope with his infirmity. And it certainly did not hinder Paul in his work for Christ. As we come to consider this prolonged illness that Paul suffered, there's a number of things very quickly that I want you to notice from this portion of Scripture. Now, I know that it's a familiar passage of Scripture to most of us, if not all of us, but I believe it's a portion of Scripture that we need to study constantly, and especially if we have infirmities. And of course, the older we get, the more infirmities we will have. And I pray that the Lord will use this passage of Scripture again to speak to our hearts, and that the Lord, even this day, would apply His Word to every heart. But especially those who are passing through times of difficulty in their Christian lives. Maybe you're not passing through a time of difficulty in your Christian life. Well, sooner or later, you will. Because the valley experience comes to us all, sooner or later. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 7, the suffering Paul experienced. Although we are not told exactly what this thorn in the flesh was, as we study verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we are told three definite things about this illness, this infirmity that Paul had. First of all, our attention is drawn to the nature of it. This thorn in the flesh was real. Paul did not imagine his illness. It was an infirmity, it was a weakness, it was a physical handicap. It was something that caused Paul great distress. Look what it says in verse 7. There was given, the middle of the verse, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So, although we're not told here exactly what this infirmity was, some believe that it was his eyesight, that he had bad eyesight. But whatever it was, one thing is sure, as far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, it was real. It was real. And you'll notice not only the nature of it, but you'll notice the source of it. Where did this thorn come from? Well, verse 7 again tells us the source of this thorn in the flesh. Because Paul tells us here that it was a messenger of Satan. Look what it says. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. But did you notice the word given in verse 7? Paul says there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. This verse teaches, I believe, that while Satan's messenger inflicted the infirmity, God permitted it to take place. And that's something that's hard for us perhaps to fully understand. We'll perhaps understand it just in a few minutes a little bit more. But you know, it reminds us of Job and what happened to him. Because over there in Job chapter 1 and verse 12, we read these words, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Was there ever a man afflicted like Job? Job was a man who suffered greatly. Satan took away his family, destroyed his farm, and eventually, when we read into chapter 2 of the book of Job, afflicted Job's body with boils. But child of God, remember this, it was the Lord that allowed it to happen. And of course, there was a reason for the Lord allowing it to happen. And we're going to see more about that just in a moment. But the point I want you to notice is this, that it's clearly taught here from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that this thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan. And the Lord permitted this to take place. The same thing is happening here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe, as what happened to Job in chapter 1. Satan is afflicting Paul. But the Lord is permitting it to happen. Why? Well, let's take a look at the reason, because you'll see the purpose of it. Verse 7 tells us the reason why God permitted Paul to be afflicted with this infirmity. It was to keep him humble before God in his daily walk. Because Paul says there, at the latter part of verse 7, underline it in your Bibles, lest I should be exalted above measure. I believe that those are the key words in verse 7. And those are the key words as far as Paul's affliction here was concerned. Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me. You see, Paul had many great gifts, and he had great talents, and he had great ability. He was a man who had seen things that no other living man had seen at that time. Did you know that Paul went to heaven and came back down again? That's, I believe, the teaching of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Let's read them again. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man, I believe here, he's speaking of himself. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Therefore, in case Paul would be puffed up with pride because of all that he had accomplished for God, because of what he had seen, because of what he had heard, God give him this thorn in the flesh to keep him humble day by day in his Christian walk. There are many things surrounding this incident in Paul's life that we can't fully understand. But one thing is sure, that Paul had an infirmity. And this infirmity was sent Paul's way to keep him humble. Because he tells us here clearly, lest I should be exalted above measure. Child of God, throughout life, there are many things that the Christian has to endure, and there are many difficult situations that we will be found in. But remember this, that there's nothing that happens to us by chance. Nothing happens to us by chance. In Philippians 1 and verse 29, we read these words, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him," and that's what we have done, we're saved, we have believed on the Lord. The Lord has redeemed us by his precious blood. "But not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Also to suffer for his sake. But notice something else in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because after the Apostle Paul received this thorn in the flesh, after he received this infirmity, he of course did the natural thing and he prayed about it. And that's what we have in verse 8. We have the supplication that Paul made. In verse 8 we are told that Paul prayed about his infirmity. After he realized that he had this problem, this thorn in the flesh, he sought the Lord about the matter. And of course, as I have said, that's the natural thing to do. And we should pray about every situation. We should pray about every difficulty that comes our way, every valley that we enter into. And that's what Paul's doing. Look at verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Whatever this infirmity was, Paul started to pray about it. And he asked the Lord to remove it, to take it away. You see, I want you to see how the apostle prayed here. He prayed definitely for his particular infirmity to be removed. He asked the Lord to remove it. For this thing I besought the Lord, that it might depart from me, that it might be taken away from me. In other words, that I might be cured, that I might be made better, that I might know healing from this infirmity. And he prayed earnestly, because it tells us that he besought the Lord. I have no doubt that Paul had tears in his eyes when he was praying to God to remove this infirmity. Prayed earnestly. Prayed with tears. Prayed seeking the face of the Lord with all his heart. Oh God, remove this infirmity. Give me relief from this infirmity. And not only did he pray definitely and did he pray earnestly, and did he seek the Lord with all his heart, but he prayed continually about this matter, because verse 8 tells us that Paul besought the Lord 3 times to take away this thorn in the flesh. He not only prayed once, he not only prayed twice, but he prayed 3 times. And I believe that he would have continued to pray if the Lord hadn't have intervened, because the Lord did intervene here, and we're going to see that just in a moment. But you can see that it's so important to pray when we have an infirmity. It's so important to pray when we have an affliction. Well, here we have the man of God seeking the face of God, and he's praying earnestly that the Lord would step in. Child of God, if we have an infirmity or a sickness or some physical problem, it's important to bring the matter to the Lord in prayer. Indeed, that's what the Bible tells us to do in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it's so important that we pray when we're sick, that we seek the Lord when we have an infirmity, that we bring the matter before the Lord. And very simply, that's what Paul's doing here. Definite prayer must be offered for the sickness. Earnest, believing prayer must be offered for the sickness. Persistent prayer must be offered for the sickness. And in God's will, the person will be healed. And that's what the text in James, I believe, is teaching us. That in the will of the Lord, the sickness will be taken away. But I want you to notice that in Paul's case, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it was not God's will that his infirmity should be taken away. God said no to Paul's request. Now, it wasn't that God did not answer Paul's prayer. God did answer Paul's prayer. But God does not always say yes to our prayer. Sometimes he says no, no. Sometimes, of course, he says wait. But here, as Paul prayed about this problem that he had, this physical infirmity that he had, the Lord, of course, steps into the situation and the Lord says no. You know, it's hard when the Lord says no to his children. But the Lord, when he says no, has a good reason for it. And although we may not be able to fully understand it at the time, or maybe we'll never fully understand it until we get home to heaven, the Lord has a purpose. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe that nothing happens to God's people by chance. Now, I can't fully understand the way that the Lord leads his people at all times. And of course, he'll lead others differently than others, some differently than others. But you know, child of God, it is so important that you and I, after we pray, we must accept the will of the Lord. And here, Paul has to accept the will of the Lord. The Lord said no to Paul's request because that was the will of God for Paul's life. But you know, of course, verse 9 is so wonderful, isn't it? The child of God, you must study verse 9 in the context of the Lord saying no to Paul. The Lord says, no, Paul, I'm not going to remove the infirmity. You're going to have to live with it. You're going to live with it, Paul. That's the way it's going to be. But verse 9 is so wonderful. Now you've got to read it in that context. You've got to study it in that context. Sometimes when we read verse 9, we forget about the context of the passage. That God has said no to Paul as far as removing this infirmity is concerned. You see, when we look at verse 9, we see the sufficiency that Paul received, the grace that Paul received to live in the Christian life with his infirmity. Paul's prayer was answered in the greatest possible way by a revelation of the Lord himself. Now, did you ever think about that? Look at verse 9. And he said unto me. So Paul here has a thorn in the flesh. This messenger of Satan that's buffeting him. He has received this because the Lord wants to humble him, lest he would be exalted above measure, lest he would get a big head about himself. And he prays about it, and the Lord says no, but the Lord doesn't leave it there. The Lord comes to Paul personally, and he speaks to his child personally. And this is what the Lord says. And my, what an answer to prayer this was. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that wonderful? Notice a number of things about God's sufficient grace. For that's what we have here. It was a powerful sufficiency. For the Lord said, my grace, my strength, the power of Christ. Paul, in the midst of his infirmity, was going to experience divine grace. He was going to experience divine help. He was going to experience the power of Christ in the midst of his infirmity. It was a powerful sufficiency. Oh, child of God, whatever we have to suffer, whatever we have to live through, whatever valley that we're brought into, thank God, the Bible tells us that God's grace is sufficient. It's God's grace, you see. It's not the church's grace or the minister's grace, but it's God's grace. And he adds grace to grace. And of course, it was a personal sufficiency. That's what we're emphasizing here. Notice the personal pronouns. He and me and my and thee in verse 9. How wonderful it is to know that there is grace sufficient for your need and grace sufficient for my need. And Paul received this grace when he was praying and when he was seeking the face of the Lord. And that's why it is so important to pray. Not only when things are going well, but when things are going not so well. And especially if you have a continual infirmity, a prolonged illness. The place where you will find grace to help in time of need is the place of prayer. And of course, that's what we read in Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to these words. What a wonderful portion it is in chapter 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh dear child of God, you're passing through a time of trial in your life. You have a prolonged illness. Oh, thank God there's grace to help in time of need. And the Lord has promised to give this grace. It is a present sufficiency. Because the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. Underline the wee word is. Not will be. Sometime in the future sufficient. But Paul, listen. My grace is sufficient now to bear you up and to help you and to strengthen you. And thank God, right now, the Lord has promised to give grace in time of need. The grace was already there for Paul to draw upon. All he had to do was to take it and receive it and to enjoy it. And you know it was a plentiful sufficiency. Because the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. In other words, what the Lord is saying here is, my grace is enough. In other words, you will receive as much grace as you need for each trial. And as the need increases, the grace will increase. Oh, child of God, in order to live upon this earth for the Savior day by day, we need to draw upon His plentiful supply. And thank God, there's enough grace for every trial. That's what the Lord here is seeking to teach the apostle. There's a wonderful text of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, underlined in your Bible. It says this, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it a wonderful thought today, a wonderful truth this afternoon, that no matter what the child of God has to pass through and suffer, that the Lord has promised to give us help in our time of need. You know, child of God, if everything went well with us, maybe we wouldn't call upon the Lord the way we should. I can't understand the way that the Lord brings us at times, but the Lord will never bring us away that He will allow us to fall. I believe that in all the ways the Lord brings His people, that the Lord has a plan in it. And certainly He has promised to give us help in time of need. But let us, whatever our circumstances are today, to trust in the Lord and to cry unto Him. And when we do, the burden will grow lighter and the infirmity will become lighter as well. Indeed, that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here, because you'll notice what Paul says at the end of verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, after Paul had prayed, after he had received this grace, this abundant grace, this divine grace, this grace that strengthened him even in the midst of his infirmity, he said this, he had a different outlook. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, he realized that he had the strength of the Lord. Oh, what a unique place Paul was brought to in this incident here in his life. The grace of the Lord became operative in Paul's weakness. Therefore, the thorn became the channel of the power of God, for his strength was made perfect in weakness. And thus, Paul says in the last part of verse 9 that it really works. The power of Christ really works. It rested upon him. The grace of God really works. God's grace is strength. You know, many years ago, I knew a lady, she's dead now, she passed away many years ago. Her name was Mrs. Richardson. She was a member of our church in Portadown. And she couldn't walk because of infirmity. Her body was twisted so many different ways. And yet, when you went to see that lady, you came away so blessed. I never knew a woman who spoke so highly of the Lord than Mrs. Richardson. Every time you spoke to her, she humbled you, because she always spoke highly of the Lord. And it wasn't a false witness. It was genuine, and you knew it was genuine. Such was her love for the Lord. Such was her genuineness in serving Christ. She could hardly get up out of the bed. She served the Lord, and she had a wonderful testimony, a tremendous testimony. A testimony that would put us to shame. Certainly put me to shame. O child of God, whatever our infirmity may be, thank God the Lord has given us a work for him to do. And here the Apostle Paul continued to serve the Lord. He continued to witness for Christ. He continued to be that effective servant, even in the midst of his infirmity. And not only did he learn to live with it, but he even used it to bring glory and honor to the Lord. I pray today that in the midst of our trials, that the Lord will give us strength, and that even in these days in which we live, that we will draw from the sufficiency of Christ. Because thank God, he has promised to give us strength in our time of need. And I believe that's the main lesson here. That's the main thrust here of this passage of Scripture. That there's strength, that there's grace, that the Lord will give us no matter what our circumstances may be. But of course, you've got to wait upon the Lord and you've got to cry unto the Lord. The Lord came to Paul in a special way here and revealed himself to God's servant in a unique fashion. And child of God, thank God the Lord will do the same for you and me, even in the midst of our trials. I pray that God will bless these few thoughts to your hearts today. Let's bow in prayer.